But here's what he did.
Rhyme it. Do you know how to rhyme it? Oh, please just rhyme it.
And he really gets into it.
Do you know how to rhyme it? We will be rocking in LA, so let's rhyme it today. Just rhyme it.
Yes.
We are gonna do rhyme it. Just
yeah, rhyme that's it. Where he just rammed it.
Everybody rhyme it. We'll be rocking in LA. Say hello to the Rams today and rhyme it.
I mean, now he's like on his feet.
Rhyme it.
Wow.
Rhyme it.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Rams Brothers, the pod. I'm your host, Dean, and I'm joined by the other host of this show, Nick. And Nick, this is your week, man. It's the Lions and the Rams. How are you? Are you ready to go?
Yeah. At the end of the day, I want a Rams victory. If the Rams were to lose another game this season and I had to pick one, this would be the game I would pick for them to lose.
And that's it. That's what you're going to say. You're going to make us all sick in the morning. It's too much. It's Thursday. We're not ready for you to project a loss. That's how you
want to jump. I'm not projecting a loss. I'm just saying if they could lose this week, it wouldn't be the worst thing in the world.
Oh, it would be the worst thing in the world.
No,
absolutely.
Don't overreact. It's the regular season.
Not overreacting. It would be very, very similar to the Jets loss last year, where it's gut-wrenching, and you know the team is not built to go deep into the playoffs. That's what happens when you lose to an 0-6 Lions team at home. It should never happen. This is one of the best. Yeah. This has to be one of the best soap operas throughout the entire NFL season. Just this game in its own. The Rams are going to be hosting an 0-6 Lions team, but it's not just any old, ordinary 0-6 Detroit Lions team. For starters, it's a coming home party for the four former members of the Los Angeles Rams who left in the offseason: Jared Goff, Michael Brockers, Aubrey Pleasant, and Brad Holmes. It's also the first time the quarterbacks Matthew Stafford and Jared Goff will be facing off against their former teams. What will the interaction between Goff and McVay be like, Nick? Will Dan Campbell do something irrational and bench the starting quarterback at halftime?
No.
How will the crowd react to Jared Goff's return? How badly will the Rams beat the Lions? Are the Rams an absolute lock to cover the spread? The amount of built-up storylines within this game is why football is the best soap opera in America. Yes, over The Bachelor. Yes, over Jersey Shore, whatever you want to call it.
Those are reality TV shows. Those are not soap operas.
All right, well, give me Days of Our Lives.
Days of Our Lives.
General Hospital. But this game is better than all of those soap operas. And why is it such a good soap opera, Nick? For starters, enter one of the most compelling characters in Detroit in some time. Looking back at some of their coaches over the last 20 years, you'd have to marry Steve Mariucci's energy with Jim Schwartz's brain and Matt Patricia's appetite to get Dan Campbell. Let's play the video, Nick, of him throwing his quarterback under the bus after getting ripped apart by the Bengals last weekend. You ready for this?
I don't feel that way yet. Now, I will say this. I feel like he needs to step up more than he has. And I think he needs to help us, you know, just like everybody else. And I think he's gonna need to put a little bit of weight on his shoulders here, and it's time to step up, make some throws, and do some things.
I'll let you react first.
The long pause, like he doesn't want to say it, but then feels like he has to say it. Yeah. I mean, they're just a horrible team from, like, top special teams, offense, defense. They don't do really anything well. They've fought to be in this game, like, in these games that they are in. And then they lose in a dramatic fashion, or they get blown out by the Bengals, who are a really good competitor. Jarrett did not look good in that game, mm-hmm. that Bengals game. So I don't know if I really blame the guy or not, because he's a first-year head coach, and I think the city has already fallen in love with Dan Campbell. So
I don't know how.
Because he's passionate.
Yeah.
Like it's like that video that came out where some guy was bashing Goff and he's like, this isn't Detroit football. And it's like, so like Detroit football is all about what? Machismo and just like acting like you're good. Detroit football has been the laughingstock of the league for like since I've been born.
Right. And same with me. I don't necessarily have a problem with what he said. When you're a head coach in that situation, you're a new head coach, your back's against the wall. I'm only going to compare it to Nick Sirianni because, as I mentioned in previous podcasts, we're tuned into the local radio station. But
You are tuned into the local Philly radio stations. I do not listen to that garbage.
Right. Regardless, I just heard Nick Sirianni talk about Jalen Hurts, some of his inefficiencies, trying to get out of the pocket when the offense breaks down, you know, the kind of quarterback that he becomes. You know, it's just a situation where when you're a first year head coach, you're going to say some of those things just to kind of get your back off of the wall or to give yourself, you know, some kind of separation between the fact that you brought in a quarterback for a rental versus they brought you in for the next 5 to 10 years as a head coach. So you need some separation there. And I feel like that's what these new guys are always going to kind of come in the league and do. Now, what he said about Jared Goff, you know, having to put weight on his shoulders, easy to say when you're Drax of Guardians of the Galaxy. That guy's huge, has the biggest shoulders in the entire world. Jared Goff is not a big guy, and I don't know if he has the ability to carry a team on his shoulders that has, you know, next to no weapons and personnel, and they're not built from the inside out the way that they should be. And it's obviously a full rebuild in Detroit right now, as it's been. And they've been putting a Band-Aid over it with a quarterback like Matthew Stafford. So, yeah, it's a, you know, I feel like it's a headache for Detroit fans. And, you know, I feel bad for that situation that they're currently in. But, Nick, I mean, this is a team that's coming into Los Angeles now. And are they prepared to play the Rams? Like, I don't know. Is this a question? Are the Rams prepared to play them? Right. There are questions that, you know, when you look at all the drama, all the storylines, you're hosting a team, you know, are you still ready to be prepared? Are you still ready to play the game? So that would be a question that that I would just ask McVay as a reporter. But I don't know, Nick, what are your thoughts just coming off of Dan Campbell and the Jared Goff situation?
I think Detroit loves Stafford because he would, like, keep them in games, but and he would win a couple. But that's just a recipe for sustained mediocrity, right? At least with Goff, you're 0-6. Like you're gonna get a good draft pick. You'll probably get the first. And like I'm not saying that's like a compliment to him. It's a horrible thing. But like at least you know that you can officially like push forward. If I'm a Lions fan though, I don't know if I would want Dan Campbell to be my like rebuild guy.
No,
you know, like I don't know if I trust him. Like you know, picking the right players and. You know, being that like beacon that like McVay was, that like McVay couldn't handle himself better. And Campbell, he's a goofy guy, you know,
right.
Like,
right.
It's just, you can be that way, but you got to also like, you know, win.
And, yeah. He runs hot, right. As we talked about on the last podcast, he's four espressos too deep.
I think some team next year is going to pick up Jarrett in some kind of way. Cause I think it's like already over with him in Detroit. Maybe like a Pittsburgh or like a Washington football team or something.
Yeah. Denver.
Yeah. Denver. Just because I like, there are so many places that if they just had a capable guy, like you can't give Goff nothing. He needs more than that.
Yeah. Oh, of course.
But it's just, and I'm sure we'll talk about it. I'm sure you have it as a point in this episode, but we, you know, McVay's like, oh, I kind of feel bad about what I did to him. So
yeah,
that's just a little, it's like dumping your ex-girlfriend and then setting her up with the worst guy ever. And then seeing them in a domestic relationship and being like, oh, is that my fault?
Yeah. Well, no, it's not. It's the way of the world. It's the cost of doing business. On the other side of the equation, Nick, it's a good transition that you just made. Sean McVay, right? The guy that
speaking of transitions, the best brew in Anaheim.
Oh, go ahead.
It's got to be Brew Rex.
Before
we got IPAs, hard seltzers, you name it. If they got it, Slap and Tickle, amazing. Over 30 beers and 10 hard seltzers. Curbside pickup, 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. Open every day, 11 a.m. to midnight. Awesome brewery, and now continue on with your transition.
Thank you. The ad read was looking me right dead in the face, and I skipped right over it. Thank you.
We got it in there. We squeezed it in.
We squeezed it in. On the other side of the equation, I mentioned lives Sean McVay. He's a guy who flew to Cabo with his fiance and the Whitworths, magically ran into the Staffords, and then pulled off a trade while Kyle Shanahan was drinking mojitos with his wife. And then he rode off into the sunset. Then you fast forward to right now, Nick, he was quoted saying that he regrets how Jared Goff, how the Jared Goff for Matthew Stafford trade was handled. Here, I'll go ahead and play the video.
Do I think that the way that it unfolded was totally different than anybody anticipated? Yes. Could I have handled it better in terms of, hey, if there's a possibility of it, let's get ahead, even if you're out of town, yada, yada, yada. So to answer your question, Gary, yes, I wish that there was better, clear communication. You don't want to catch guys off guard. It came together a lot faster than anybody anticipated. But yeah, of course, I think that, you know, anytime that tough decisions and things like that where people are affected, you always want to be as understanding, as empathetic as possible. Think about it through the other person's lens. And there's certainly things that, you know, I know I would do it a little bit differently if I, you know, when those situations arise in the future. But I think Jared knows the respect that I have for him. I feel very good about the dialogue that we were able to have, you know, before he had gone to Detroit. He knows the appreciation that we as an organization, that I have as a coach, for all the good things that he did here. But to say that it was perfectly handled on my end, I wouldn't be totally accurate in that. Do I think that?
So, yeah. So I'll take this one. So to me, McVay, before you jump in, will always be living in some sort of regret until he wins a Super Bowl. Right. I feel like if he's not upset about the Goff and Stafford trade, how that was handled, he's going to be upset with the slow start or being penalized early or something else that we just don't know about yet. So he is that kind of mindset where he's constantly kind of taking inventory of himself. Right. What's the current situation at hand? He's now in a really ideal situation. So it's really easy for him to kind of sit there and just reflect on what happened in that moment and just say, yeah, well, I could have probably handled it differently. Right. I was drinking a little bit. You know, I was throwing ideas out there, throwing feelers out there. The Whitworths and Jared Goff are really close friends. You know, is there going to be some kind of offense that happens throughout that process? Am I going to hurt the guy, Goff? You know, all these things that you just take from a personal level when you're handling a trade. But it happened so fast. Right. On the other side, it happened so quick. Would it have happened if Sean McVay didn't jump on the opportunity so quickly and act the way that he did? So I'm sure part of him has regret. And then the other side of him is probably thinking to himself, well, if I didn't do it then, if I wasn't drinking then, if I wasn't with my fiance in the Whitworths then, the trade might not have happened. So I don't know. What are your thoughts?
I don't know if you have the video. Do you have the video of the Detroit reporter asking Goff what he felt about it?
No, I don't.
No. Well, I'll just fill everybody in. He said, yeah, like it takes a big man to admit that. I have nothing but respect for the people over there. Just, you know, class act, Jarrett, you know, just.
Well, yeah. And you're kind of setting up for, you know, him coming home, right? Coming back to the stadium and Brockers and Brad Holmes and Aubrey Pleasant, right? They're setting up for that reunion. I think you kind of have to clear the air, right? Which was strange, though, what I saw yesterday was the fact that Stafford and McVay declined to talk to Detroit reporters. Did you see that too on Twitter? I'm not sure exactly who that came from, but apparently there were Detroit beat writers that were looking to reach out to Stafford and McVay just to talk about the trade or talk about the relationship between Goff and McVay and Stafford, and they both declined. So that, I don't know, that kind of rubbed me the wrong way. I feel like if I'm a Detroit fan and I see that, I'm just like, well, I mean, we're an 0-6 team, like we're
probably, it's like you can't give us the time of day.
Just what do you? Yeah, that it just hurts, right? So I don't know. Anything else, Nick, you want to add with the McVay Goff comment?
It almost sounds like in the beginning he's not even talking about Jarrett. I just kind of wish it was a little less politician.
Yeah,
you I know. Like that's how like he is. Dan Campbell I'm like somewhere in between the two, because Campbell will be as raw and emotional as possible, and then McVay will be as like emotionless and you know, smiling through gritted teeth as possible.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah,
I don't know, like the whole dichotomy between them And to know what we know now and go back and think about last year, it's it creates so much different tension. And, like, you know, it's not like they were a bad team last year. I think they could have won that Green Bay game really close the whole time. So,
yeah,
it's tough. It's just the whole thing. Have they upgraded? Yeah. Do I think they would be in this position right now with Jarrett still as their quarterback?
No. Key, don't say yes.
Do I think they would have the same record?
No.
Yeah.
No. They would be 4-2. I think they would have lost the Seattle game. With
really point, after
Stafford
throws an end zone interception,
yeah,
then you think
I don't know. We'll see. Lose that game. With great tension, you mentioned, comes great innovation. So I think they were in a situation. I couldn't imagine the tension between Goff and McVay throughout the last, you know, handful of years. Knowing what we know now, right? Knowing that he's frustrated with a 38-point performance from his offense on the road, creating the tension between himself, Goff.
Upset.
I'm sure
he's upset about it, right?
Well, yeah, he's got to act upset to the media. I'm sure he was. I'm sure he genuinely was. I believe that. But I'm sure he,
you know, destroyed the Giants.
Well, I know, but throughout the trade, right? I'm sure there were plenty of other staff members that had a voice throughout the process, right? Including potentially Brad Holmes, who was one of the guys that contributed to the decision to trade up and draft Jared Goff first overall. But it led to the great innovation that is Matthew Stafford. So you can kind of go both ways with it. I feel like the icing on the cake, though, for us fans is when you can finally see the tape, right? When you, I don't know if there's a, for whatever reason, I feel like there's like an 8-week buffer from when the tape comes out and when fans can actually like digest it and understand what's happening, unless you're Sosa, right? Sosa can get it same day and understand exactly what the hell's happening in the clip. But just seeing that throw from Stafford, that he made from Henderson down the left sideline compared directly to the throw that Goff made in the regular season versus San Francisco is haunting. You can't disagree with this. It's one of those things you see it and you're like, oh, it's egregious. I wish it didn't happen, but it is the way that it is. Here, I'll play the clip.
Four-man Giants rush. Stafford looking sideline. It's the running back, Henderson.
I'll tell you what, it's quick. I'll play it one more time.
Four-man Giants rush. Stafford looking sideline. It's the running back, Henderson.
So what I saw from Stafford, no, just, real quick in that clip, real quick.
No, let me go this time, damn it.
All right. Go ahead.
I just, you know, he made that throw to Todd Gurley 10 times out of 10 in 2018, 2017. It's just a little, it's weird to see the regression of somebody just continue to go down, especially at the point of their career where it's supposed to go up. And yeah, no, like you can't blame McVay for wanting to upgrade the most important position. That should be just bare bones.
You should be happy as a fan that that's what the head coach wanted to do.
I mean, I am happy as a fan. We're 8-1.
Ooh.
Hopefully soon.
Take it easy.
Yeah. I'm happy with the record. I really like this team. They don't do everything perfect. It doesn't feel like the kind of tenacity of a Super Bowl team, in my opinion, yet. But I do really like what I'm seeing.
Yeah.
It's hard because you have that landmark of 2018 with McVay, and you're like, all right, well, you got to at least hit this now. Considering you made this big move to somebody that you think is better than the person that you were there with. So,
yeah. Well, I mean, the landmark, the league changes, the landmark changes, but I agree. You got to get back to the Super Bowl. But I feel like just watching that clip back, seeing Stafford identify Henderson. So he's looking left, right? Mm-hmm. You're looking left. You identify Henderson. You move your eyes to the middle of the field. You evaluate what's going on there. He moves his eyes, pulls his head back to the other side of the field, makes the adjustment, makes a perfect throw to Henderson. It's the best possible clip that you can see from a quarterback, just in the motion in his shoulders, moving his head as quickly as possible back to Henderson after he progresses and reads the defense in the middle of the field. It's just something that I was innately impressed with. So I got to a point last year, Nick, and you know this, fans of the show know this, where I just flat out couldn't lie to myself anymore, right? I wanted to see Jared Goff succeed. I wanted to see him win a Super Bowl as badly as anybody else did. But I wanted to see somebody else, a quarterback. I wanted to see something else from the quarterback position under Sean McVay after about midway through the season last year. Even to the point where I wanted to see John Wolford, and you were so mad when I wanted to see that. But I mean, it's when you want to see a change, you're desperate to see it in any regard. Right. So that's just kind of one of the things that I've always been looking at.
John Wolford.
Yeah, I know what but it's irrelevant. He's a backup quarterback to this point. I'm just saying I wanted to see something fresh. I wanted to see something new from the quarterback position under Sean McVay, and we finally got it. So it's very enlightening for me as a fan. I feel like I've been awoken, and I could finally like enjoy football again. So I don't know. Well, you're sitting back in your chair, you disagree all the way.
I've been enjoying football. I enjoyed it when we weren't a good team too. I know that's maybe a controversial opinion, but it's better when you're winning. I'll tell you that.
Better when you're winning.
Just when you get too invested in like actual humans and you forget that it's just not, it's not just like a game on television. You know what I mean? But you know, all that stuff isn't really important. At the end of the day, we don't know them. They don't know us. We're here to enjoy the organization, and we've been able to do that.
Right. Yeah. I don't know. And when fans are able to put together that video is courtesy of Wes at Sleason80 on Twitter. I think those kind of things are, like I said, awakening, right? And it's, you see winning football happening in real time. So it's just exciting to see. I think the biggest difference, Nick, just outside of pure talent and what is now becoming full command of the offense between Matthew Stafford and Jared Goff is their yards per attempt, their intended air yards, and third down efficiency in long yard situations. This is something Cam called out in his recent article. It's a completely different script with these two. Like when you hold their passing charts up side by side, it's like putting Russell Westbrook's next to Steph Curry, right? Somebody who can score on the inside, he can't shoot from deep, and then you go to Steph Curry and everything's from deep, right? It's just a much more... I would say engaging passing chart, right? Something that you could see the upgrade that was needed, the yards per attempt, yards per completion has all been upgraded with Matthew Stafford, and you could actually see it in these next gen charts. So that would be the comparison that I make. I don't know. What do you think? Is there any other passing charts that you would compare to Steph Curry or Russell Westbrook?
I think you could compare Jared Goff's to Drew Brees the last couple of years.
Okay.
And I think a 27-year-old quarterback has to be taking more risks and not just, you know, checking it down.
Right.
Or throwing it out.
Yeah. So,
and I don't know if he's going to, like, who needs to tell him that, or if he's told it all the time and he's just trepidatious with it. I don't know. It's almost like the same thing with Ben Simmons, kind of, not really though, because Jarrett's like actually out there playing and trying. But it's like, if you could get somebody just to get in his head, like a different way, like I think McVay was just like always like yelling at him and like screaming at him, and maybe he just needs like a nurture, loving, you know, kind of coach. And I don't know who that is in the NFL, but. I don't know. You got to try something else.
Dan Campbell seems like the dad head coach that will nurture you at times, but when you like don't need to be nurtured, or when you need to be nurtured rather, he'll just scream at you, right? Yeah. Just irrationally. It's on third and 10 or longer, Matthew Stafford's 10 to 12 for 281 yards.
Rams are not good on third down this year.
Well, a third and 10 and longer, Matthew Stafford is very good.
Third and 10, but like just traditional third downs, I think they're ranked like second lowest or something. It's like a shocking number.
Right. I think just kind of for this situation, right, comparing the fact that Stafford has 9 first downs in third and longer, right? So just, you know, showing intended air yards and yards per completion. Goff is in the same situation, is 8 of 12 for 75 yards and 2 first downs. Stafford's 9 first downs on third and 10 are are equal to Jared Goff's total from last season. Like I mentioned, these stats are courtesy of Cam DeSilva and Pro Football Reference. So they're telling. Again, one of the things, everything in the NFL is twofold, right? I think there is, when you say, you know, Jared Goff is digressing or he's not in a good situation, right? There's multiple dimensions to that. And I think when you look at Jared Goff's situation, of course, his completion percentage is going to be kind of around where it's been, right? 66.8 is on the better half of where it's been in his career. But the problem is he's not taking any deep shots, like we mentioned. And he doesn't necessarily have the talent to A, take the top off, and B, have those guys create yards after the catch. He's been sacked 15 times so far this season. So he's on pace to shatter his record of being sacked 33 times in 2018, your favorite team with the Rams. He's currently at 9.4 yards per completion, while Stafford's sitting at 13. He also leads the league in fumbles lost with 4. And he's added 4 interceptions to that as well. So his current quarterback break is 7 touchdowns, 8 turnovers. But you look at his talent at wide receiver. You got Geronimo Allen. Geronimo! 13 snaps so far this season. Am I driving you nuts yet, Nick? He hasn't gotten a ton of work. Cardale Hodge, current grade, 66.8 via PFF. 109 snaps registered. He's been blocking well in the run game. Outside of that, he's not a massive contributor. Trinity Benson, Khalif Raymond, Tyrell Williams, Tom Kennedy, right? These are guys that you didn't know before this season started. Khalif Raymond's actually having a pretty decent season. He is the leading receiver in snaps and leading receiver in total yards. Quintez Cyphus also has a total grade of 71.7. He's the leader in yards per reception and touchdowns with 2. And then Amon Ross St. Brown, current grade 64.6. He's a leader in receptions and targets. And then, Nick, you get to TJ Hockenson. He's a leader, leading receiver with 44 targets, 311 yards and 2 touchdowns. And then DeAndre Swift, he's their second leading receiver as a running back with 42 targets, 295 yards and 2 touchdowns. So that's kind of the whole slate of what Jared Goff is currently dealing with. None of these players, Pro Bowl caliber, all pro level. TJ Hockenson is obviously a decent option at tight end. That's been his security blanket. But the MO with his offense has been dink and dunk, find the tight end, find the running back in space, and try to get a play out of them. So what are your thoughts after kind of looking at that depth chart? My initial reaction was just aggravation.
Yeah. Stafford would get, would get hate when he wouldn't play well in Detroit too. They don't ask for much there. They really don't. It's just like a couple big, nice wins. And the universe has kind of made them lose a couple really close games this year, which would have been because they feel more like a 2-win team than like no wins. The defense is also pretty shaky just in general. They held Fields, Lamar, and Kirk Cousins to like subpar days, every single one of them. 3 of them combined for 2 touchdowns and 3 interceptions. Obviously, they all won. It's just the whole team. It's nobody's really good enough. It's just it's sad to see it, and I don't really like talking about it.
I think on the other side, too, we both wanted the Lions to be a decent team this year.
Yeah, you kind of sneakily will text me when the Lions are like up. You're like, oh, Jared's going to do it.
Yeah, I'll see you. That Ravens game, they should have very easily won. Justin Tucker doesn't hit the longest field goal of all time in NFL history. They win that game as time expires. They lost 2 games this year as time expires. So it's not even like Goff has a chance with the ball in his hands to win the game. Like, he's already had the game won, and then it's just unique, defeating, depressing losses in Detroit week after week. And I just don't know how they do it over there. You have a situation with Goff. The defense has been shaky, but he hasn't, I would agree with Dan Campbell, hasn't necessarily been holding his end of the bargain. But again, it's twofold. He doesn't have the personnel to help him. Their defense too, and you look at weeks 1, Jimmy G torched them for 314 yards. Aaron Rodgers torched them with 4 touchdowns. And then Joe Burrow's game last weekend, I think Stafford kind of falls in that category with those 3 guys versus Lamar, Justin Fields, and Kirk Cousins. So I think obviously Stafford's going to have a good day. He's going to want to have a revenge game against that defense. I'm sure he knows a ton of coaches, a ton of people on that sideline. I'm going to predict the Rams to cover the spread, right? Especially what we saw last weekend. So I don't know. You've been probably watching more Lions games than I have. Tell us a little bit more about the defense or what you've seen.
I don't like it. I don't like anything I've seen. They're just not good. The whole team, top to bottom. They're not a good team. They're not well run. A lot of penalties, just like bad things that'll kind of really hurt you in the end. And they just, you know, they get really, they really sad. They are sad. They're just a sad, sad organization, and they always have been. And it's just a shame because, like, growing up, the Bengals, the Browns, not really Chargers, but all these teams were just, like, horrible, like, so bad. And now you look at them, and the Bengals and the Browns are really turning things around.
Mm-hmm.
The Lions are not.
No.
And that's just how it is.
Yeah. It certainly is. So what do you think? We transition to Nick's picks, or do we want to break into the little extra special video edit that you made for the fans?
Yeah, no, we can break into it. If you're not watching, I think the first voice you hear, I don't know what video you're going to show.
I'm going to play the prison one first.
So the first voice you hear is Jarrett, and the second voice you hear is supposed to be McVay. And I put their heads on this video because I've just been watching some Arrested Development, and the relationship between Buster and George Sr. is very similar, I think, to the relationship of Goff and McVay.
This will be tweeted after the podcast as well, but we'll play it live on the pod. Here we go.
And make sure you're aware that your ban on organized sports in this family has been violated.
Ban on organized sports?
You know, they wouldn't let me sign up for anything when I was a kid.
Is that what you've been thinking all these years?
No. You were just a turd out there. You know, you couldn't kick and you couldn't run, you know. You're just a turd.
It's great because, like, the next line in that clip, too, I didn't think it fit the context, but it's hilarious. Buster just goes, prison has destroyed the way that you talk. Great show.
Yeah, the dynamic. I'm certainly starting to see it in that first video. And I think there's a second video you have prepared as well.
Yeah. We can play it. And it's, right. You know, same voices.
Same concept.
This is Goff and McVay right before the Green Bay game.
Okay.
No, let me help you with that, son.
Oh.
Hey, enjoy yourself tonight because you are out of here. I'm not going to spend my retirement watching you wipe your nose on your sleeve.
I can't breathe that.
Neither can I.
Oh, man. Yeah, it's, you know what it is that gets me that I think is really funny about it is McVay's face. Because it's like he's kind of like smiling like it's like an evil smile. And Goff's kind of like looking up in the air like clueless. It's really, you really did a great job of getting the...
encapsulating their... dynamic.
Yeah. And just the overall like expressions and emotion from those two, I think was well done. So good job by you.
Thanks.
Credit to you. Production value way up. Way, way up. All right. Next picks.
Oh, are we doing this?
I think we're doing it.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to Nick's Picks. Last week I said it was a mortgage week. We won one bet of six. But that's okay. That's okay. We're gonna come back this week. We're gonna come in hot. I really like the plays that we have. Before we get started, as always, Dean, let's hear your lock.
My lock of the week is the Rams to cover the spread.
Rams minus 15 and a half.
Yep. Rams minus 15 and a half. Maybe even buy it up to 16 and a half because they're gonna win by at least 17 points. So yeah. Do whatever you got to do.
Kind of feels that way, doesn't it?
That's my lock. Yep.
All right, so that's not in my plays. Let's just start. Luckily, we're recording on a Thursday morning, which means I can bet on the Thursday night game, which is nice because I like those games. I'm taking Denver at Cleveland. I'm going to do Browns minus two. Who doesn't want to root for a Case Keenum Browns team? Case Keenum has been on the Vikings, the Rams, the Washington football team, the Broncos. Dude's been a ping pong ball that everybody can seem to root for because he's probably played for your team. Just like Jared Goff's Lions, they are horribly lovable. This Case Keenum Brown team without Chubb and Hunt, you can convince yourself they're going to win every week, and they always let you down. But like they sing in Cabaret, maybe this time I'll be happy. maybe this time I'll be free. You ever see Cabaret?
I never have.
It's a really good musical.
Okay.
The Browns are a well-coached team who I think will continue to play strong games. We can't comment on the Cardinals game. The Cardinals beat everybody. I love the underdog story to put on the Browns because they've been underdogs my entire life. And now it's fun. It's hard to find them as underdogs. We're minus 140 if you want to take the money line. But I like minus two because who loses? Or, you know, you're going to win by three or seven or somewhere in between that. 27-17 Browns. I think they win nicely. I think Case Keenum doesn't have to do much to have a good game. I think their backup running back is going to come in tough, and their wide receiving core is going to be able to dink and dunk their way to a victory.
I feel like that game is tricky because what, Denver's lost three straight?
Yeah, but the only teams Denver have beat have been the Giants, the Jets, and the Jags. So true. I don't really think any of those wins really count.
True.
And I think a lot of people want to like Denver because it's Denver, and it's like they're like they've always been like a historically cool organization with Elway and then Peyton. But it's like you have not been able to do anything quarterback wise. I bet the Raiders last week when they were up 7-0 against Denver, and they were underdogs. It was 7-0, and Raiders were underdogs, and I was like, this makes no sense.
That's
so
odd.
I hammer that. And they ended up winning handsomly with an interim head coach. So I like this play a lot. We're moving on, though. Speaking of laughingstock franchises, Cincinnati at Baltimore. I'm taking Bengals plus 6.5. I am in on the Bengals. I think they're a playoff team, wild card, but I think they are. And I think Joe Burrow is a lot like a young Trey Young, and I will not be elaborating on that.
I kind of want you to.
I will not.
Okay.
Wait for the line to move to minus 7 because I think it will, because I think the whole world is going to be on Baltimore minus 6.5.
It's Baltimore. I can't believe it's that high.
Yeah. I mean, Baltimore, they just destroyed the Chargers, but they're not perfect. They tend to start sloppy and rely heavily on the new Superman. I love Lamar. Kid's great. Reminds me a lot of Luka Doncic. But I'll take Trey Young's Bengals keeping it close. 31-30, Ravens Justin Tucker victory, but the Bengals are still scrappy and they cover for us.
I'm trying to get the Trey Young analogy. Like, is it something with he's on the Hawks? The colors of the teams are you something probably super easy that
I will not be elaborating. Right, maybe Indianapolis at San Francisco, Niners minus 4, off a bye. We don't want to admit it. We really don't want to admit this one. But we low-key love Shanahan off a bye. The guy's a smart cookie who schemes well enough to stay in games with good teams and beat bad ones. And straight up, the Colts are bad. They don't really do anything well. They have a horrible starting quarterback, and their coach hasn't produced anything outside of a quote-unquote solid defense that hasn't been solid enough to stop anyone this year outside of the Texans. While McVay wasn't able to work with his goofy quarterback, Shanahan is kind of stuck with his sort of. I believe Jimmy G's Niners would have beaten the Cards 2 weeks ago. And it's a shame that they had to start a young rookie. But I like the number 4. I feel like it's low. I'm going to do 21-16 Niners win and cover.
Okay. I don't know about that one. You bash Carson Wentz a little bit. He's been bouncing back a little bit. He's had a foot injury, two ankle injuries. He hangs in there. I think that game will be good, but Niners minus 4, I think, is a comfortable line. They're due for a bounce back, like you said, off the bye. I like it.
Then we got Saints at Seahawks, and this is just too good of a value bet for me not to take. It's like plus 194. Seahawks money line. They're scrappy. They hung around all night with the Steelers on Monday night. They're not going to embarrass themselves twice in prime time. And I'm mainly doing it for this because I just foresee these memes. Geno Smith is going to get a win before Jared Goff does, and it's going to hurt my soul. While I love certain individual players on the Saints, I don't think they figured out what their team is yet. And the game is at Seattle. The place is going to be going nuts. They're fighting for their freaking life right now.
Yeah,
to make some kind of playoff push. So I think Seattle's going to win 38-28. I think it's going to be an absolute shootout. Somehow, in spectacular Monday night fashion, we're going to take the underdog, and the underdog has been doing really well on Monday night. So
okay, I'll take the other side of that. I'll flip the scores and I'll take the Saints.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think Geno Smith is capable of putting up that many points, but I don't know. They're interviewing Cam Newton, right? They want to bring him in potentially. I think Seattle's fan base is beaten down and battered. Finally,
if I think they were going to do that, they should have done it by now.
Yeah, I mean, you're probably right. But again, I think Seattle's a little kind of down and out at this point. My morale as a Seahawks fan this year would be down with Russ being out. But yeah, you never know. They're scrappy, that's for sure. Yeah.
And then my quick pick, I'm going to take Falcons to beat Miami in Miami.
All right.
I'm hearing trade rumors about Tua going to the football team and Deshaun potentially on Miami, and it's like a three-way trade. So,
yes, it's not looking good for the Dolphins in their top pick.
No, I mean, after losing to the Jags, I think it's going to be hard for them to beat a team with a lot of weapons. The Jags don't really have that many. So
I would agree.
Let's run it back. We got Browns -2, Bengals +6.5, Niners -4, Seahawks money line, Falcons money line.
So it's not a mortgage week.
I would say no. I don't put any mortgages on any of these bets. The one I like most, I think it's the Thursday night Browns -2.
Yeah.
I think it's
maybe I go a little Rams cover, Browns cover parlay. I don't know. Rams Browns Niners, maybe.
I could see the Lions making some like late push in that game and like blowing the cover, but like still losing by like.
Well, I think it would be fun. It would be fun to take the cover in that game so that you have some kind of vetted interest like later on in the game, right? If the Rams are up, 28-7 at halftime, and the game kind of starts to unravel a little bit, you have another storyline to kind of follow. So I think throwing the money on the cover would be fun. Just for the sake of, we're going to be at the game.
Fun for you and I. I would throw 100 on it.
We got to keep the ladies interested too.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't know. I'm hoping it's a hard fought game and we're going to be taking the trip to get there. So I'm sure it's going to be a hell of a time, but yeah, again, we'll be there. Purple lot, pink lot, tailgate. We're going to be rolling up in our robes, according to you. Pregame to pregame, it's going to be a hell of a time. So we're looking forward to
tailgate
it.
With a little brunch.
Yeah, a little brunch. Got to mix in a little Eggs Benny. I've been big on the Eggs Benny.
I love Eggs Benedict. They're so good.
Yeah, with a little country ham. Mm. I can only really do it with the ham. I don't like to mix in the salmon or the crab or avocado.
No, I don't think. I don't like fish at breakfast unless, and this is like a lox sandwich. Oh,
love that. Love a little lox and cream cheese. That's the Northeast in you.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good stuff. All right, boys, girls, Ramley. We will be back probably by Tuesday or Wednesday of next week. Coming back from travel and catching up with work is going to be a little bit tricky, but we'll be back. So Tuesday, Wednesday next week, we'll have content in between. We're going to tweet out those live videos.
I don't want to call my own shot here, but I think they have a chance of blowing up. Maybe not. Maybe I'm just
they're both hysterical.
Yeah, I think that's a really good like celebrity like fictional relationship that you can tie between those two. Goff as Buster has been in my head for quite some time, and he's just such a turd out there sometimes. I just, you love him, but he's just such a turd. And I think it's funny. So
yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing the reaction from the fans.
Yeah, thanks for listening, guys. Hit us up on social media if you want to have a beer with us or throw the football around at the tailgate or something. It'll be a lot of fun. Looking forward to it. Go Rams.
Hell yeah, baby. Hell yeah, go Rams. Good stuff, Nick.
Vamos Rams!
Talk to you guys soon. Play the face-off rock verse.
It's about drive. It's about power. We stay hungry. We devour.
I still can't get it out of my head.
Take what's ours.